Praise God. If you want to, you can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look there, then we'll look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then we're going to make our way back over to Matthew 24. I'll just give you a heads up which direction we're going. Praise God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, you know, he wrote these two letters to Timothy, and he gives us some instruction and talks to us about some things. But to Timothy says, but know this, that in the last days, everything's going to be easy. People are going to love you. Wonderful times are going to happen. Oh, no, that's the religious standard version that got reversed. Amen. Now, listen to what Paul says to Timothy. Now, Timothy's a son in the faith. He's a young minister. He's a pastor. These are pastoral letters that he's writing to him. And notice he says, but know this. Know this, absolutely get a hold of this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times will come. You know, in the Amplified, it says, but understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Boy, that's not really good news, is it? Amen. That's a warning. Stressful times, hard times to put up with, hard to bear up, great stress and trouble. He said, they're coming. He said, you need to be ready for them. Amen. Then let's go back to 1 Timothy. He talked to him. Isn't it amazing? He writes two letters to this young minister. And in both of them, he gives him some instructions here on being ready. And he says in chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says, in other words, the Holy Ghost is speaking again through Paul to this minister, that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. My. Now, he told him in that second letter when he wrote to him, there's going to be hard and perilous times, troublesome times, struggling times, things are going to come. And here he says, you need to get ready. There are people that you were counting on is not going to be there. There are going to be some people that are going to let these times bring them down. They're going to listen to the wrong voices and they're going to lose it. They're going to fall away. He said, you need to get ready for that. Amen. Now, what did the Lord Jesus have to say about the time we're living in? Look over in Matthew chapter 24. And so, you know, you'll find here that actually the Apostle Paul was picking up on the things the Lord is warning us about. And in chapter 24 of Matthew, the disciples come to the Lord Jesus and they're talking to him about the temple and all these wonderful things. And the Lord looks at him and says, there's coming a day, this is all going to be torn down. And they just, it takes them back, you know. And so then finally, you pick it up here in verse 3. And it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Now you got to realize this. This next discussion we're going to talk about here is not Jesus teaching the multitudes. This is Jesus talking to his 12 apostles. The inner circle. Amen. They came to him privately. So this is the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples. Amen. These are the ones that are going to be the apostles that are going to take the gospel to the world after the resurrection. These are the ones that he's counting on to be in the upper room when the day of Pentecost comes. Amen. These are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we find here that the Lord is going to now speak to them. And they come to him privately and they ask him, tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. Now, this is a 3-in-1 question. Amen. They're asking him one question with three parts is what they're doing to him. And so the first part is this, when will these things be? Lord, when's the temple going to get destroyed? When's all this destruction coming? Okay. Second thing is this, what will be the sign of your coming? What are we supposed to be looking for whenever it's time for you to come back? And what's going to be the end of this age? See, there's a difference in the return of the Lord in his second coming and the rapturing of his coming back the second time. Amen? And so the end of the age happens whenever at the end of tribulation when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and sets up the millennial reign. But the time he comes back before that, praise God, is when he's going to catch us away. So they're asking him some questions about the end times, about what's going on during their day, and what's going to happen here when it all comes to a conclusion. Amen? And notice here in verse 4 that the Lord Jesus, the first thing he does here when he answers them, and you need to get a hold of this, it says this, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Now, he's talking to the apostles. He's warning them not to let themselves get deceived. My. The Amplified reads it like this. Jesus answered them, "Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error." Ooh, my. He's not talking to just the guy that just showed up. He's talking to the ones he hand-selected and that he has put the anointing on. He's already sent them out under the power of God. They've already done miracles, signs, and wonders in his name. And first thing he does, when they come and talk to him about the life that's coming and what's going on, the first thing he says is this: you need to make sure that you do not allow anybody to deceive you, to mislead you, and to get you off in error. Now, folks, if they couldn't be deceived and couldn't be misled and couldn't get off in error, Jesus wouldn't have had to warn them, would he? And it must be important to the Lord, and it must be a real problem because, when you start off answering something, usually you start off with a keynote thing that you want to get a hold of. So everything the Lord's going to tell them from this point on is going to be a warning to them after he's already said, don't let any of these things deceive you. Don't let any of this time that's coming cause you to fall away, be discouraged, or anything else. Amen? Don't get into error, because you can get into error if you allow these things to begin to influence you. Amen? And so let's keep reading. What does he say is going to happen? Verse 5, "For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many." He said there's going to be a lot of false religions and false things coming along. Don't get caught up in the false things that are a big fad. Amen? It'll lead you away. And he says, "And you will hear wars and rumors of wars." Anybody heard of any wars lately? "See that you're not troubled or frightened. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, listen to what he's talking about. See, you got to understand something, folks. When we take what Paul wrote to Timothy and what Jesus is saying here, you got to understand that since the fall of Adam, sin has been in the world, and there's been death and destruction and wars and everything else. And since the day of Pentecost, there's been great persecution against the church. There's been all kinds of stuff going on. So Jesus is not saying these are only going to happen in the last days. But we find, according to reading on into the letters, because the Bible is progressive revelation, that we find out that they were going on during the time that the apostles were there. Amen? They had wars, rumors of wars, all this stuff is going on. But it's going to crank up as we get into the latter days. Amen? And so the same warning that the Lord Jesus gave to them, we need to take heed for ourselves and make sure that we don't allow any of this to cause us to be misled, deceived, and get off into error in our lives. Amen? And we need to make sure that none of us get pulled into that in the perilous times we're living in. So he's warning them, these things are in progress and they're in operation, but they're going to continue to get worse, because he goes on, he says this. He says, "The end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence or plagues, sicknesses and diseases, and earthquakes in various places." I mean, we've had earthquakes, but they seem to be happening every other day now. Plagues are going all over the world. Things are happening. And so he says, these things are coming. All these are the beginning of sorrows. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation or persecution. And they'll kill you." Some of them they will. And we say, well, that's not happening here. Well, I want to tell you what, right now, I just read an article not too long ago that Christianity is now more persecuted in America than ever in any time of our history of our nation. Amen. And there are Christians all over the world being persecuted and killed today because of their Christianity and their walk with God. Amen. So he's talking about the things that are coming. And he says this, "And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended," or many will fall back. Notice that? That's the very thing that Paul told Timothy not to let happen. Don't be pulled off. Don't let all these times pull you away from God. And Jesus is warning him. He's saying, listen, if you don't watch out, all of this stuff's going on, and if you don't watch yourself, you'll get offended. We have to guard ourselves from being offended. Some people don't even need an earthquake, war, or pestilence, or famine to be offended. Just somebody says something or just doesn't say hi to them when they walk by. Amen. And so the Lord is warning here. He says, don't get offended. And don't betray one another. And he says, and says, and they will hate one another. Notice that they'll persecute. Isn't that a sad thing that they went from living for the Lord and being folks that were speaking kind and being good and being a blessing to now they're offended and they're walking around with anger and hatred in their heart and mind instead of love and compassion? That's sad, isn't it? Notice that? He says, then many false prophets or lying preachers will rise up and deceive many. Notice that? Don't listen to just everything that's coming on. Get in the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Amen? Now notice what he says. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Isn't that a saying? You know, he's saying because of iniquity, the sin, and lawlessness. And there's lawlessness going on in our country right now. And you know what that's going? You know what that's all about? That's all about getting us to the point that we become numb to it. That it doesn't affect us anymore. That we become hardened to it. And that and in fact, if you don't watch out, instead of praying and seeking God to move, you get angry and you start speaking your hatred and anger and frustration towards it. And then you know what you've done? You've done the very thing the devil is wanting you to do and the thing that Jesus warned you not to do. You've allowed yourself to get deceived, misled, gotten in error, and offended. And now instead of being a blessing to the Lord, now you're a problem. Amen. These are things we need to get ready for. He says this. He says, and because of lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. I refuse to let my love grow cold. I refuse to just let the world dictate my Christianity. Amen. I'm not going to let the things going on around me, what people are saying about me, or anything else, decide who I am. Amen. They're not going to decide how I react. They're not going to decide how I live. They're not going to decide my temperament. They're not going to decide my confession. They're not going to decide whether I put a frown or a smile on my face. The world is not going to. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And bless God, it's not going to control my life. Amen. Glory to God. And the Lord Jesus is warning the disciples all the way down through here. He's saying, listen, the ultimate of the enemy is to get you cold and indifferent and non-caring and get your heart cold and get you to the place where you're not seeking God and being what God called you to be. Amen. So what's the Lord's answer to all of this? How am I going to not be deceived and caught up in all this? Verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Glory to God. What you talking about? I'm talking about this. He said, he that endures. That word endure there, I looked it up. It means to have fortitude, to persevere, to stand strong and not be moved from God's purpose for you. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. When all this stuff is going on and the enemy's hitting you and everything around you is in an uproar and everything in your head is telling you to quit and your flesh is telling you to quit, he says, I'll tell you what you do. When the enemy's coming in like a flood, just take your stand and stand there for it, and I'll save you out of everything he throws at you. I'll save you out of the plagues. I'll save you out of the wars. I'll save you out of the persecution. I'll save you out of anything and everything the enemy throws at you. If you'll take a stand, I'll stand with you. Hallelujah. See, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, there's no temptation, test, or trial that's come upon you, but such is common to man. Meaning what? The devil can't put something on you he can't put on everybody else. But he'll tell you, oh, you're unique. You're the only one doing this. No, you're not. Everybody's going through something. And so Paul says, he says, everyone's going to have temptations, but there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But listen to the next part. But with the temptation, God has already provided a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What's he saying? He's saying when you're in a test or a trial, don't get your eyes on the test or the trial. Start looking around for God's escape path. Hallelujah. Because God has already provided a way for you to get out of that thing. Amen. So what am I going to have to do whenever I find myself under these attacks and struggles? I need to make up my mind. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to lose my love. You're not going to determine how I respond. You're not stealing my joy. You're not stealing my praise. You're not stealing my faith in God. I'm going to stand strong in the name of the Lord, and the Lord's going to save me out of this, and the test will be my testimony of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. You got to get a hold of this. This is where we're at today. Amen. The test will not define me. Jesus will define me in the test, and I'll come out of that thing with a victory report. Praise God. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, and he said, listen, he said, you know, all these things are coming on you. They're going to come to try to separate you from God. They're going to try to do all this stuff. He says, but in verse 37, yet in all these things, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Hallelujah. Amen. And if God be for us, whoo, who can be against us? See, this is what the Lord is telling the disciples. And you see, you got to understand something, folks. All the time Jesus was here, He never promised us that it would be a cakewalk to live for Him. Matthew chapter 10, He gives the apostles power to go cast out demons, and He gives them power to do it. And they come back and they said, Lord, we were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, casting out devils, healing the sick. Great things were happening. Glory to God. And He gets with them and He says, listen, now I need to let you know something. He said, what they did to me, they're going to do to you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Glory to God. What's He saying to them? He's saying, listen, it's not always going to be a rosy bed of flowers that you're going to be laying around in. Sometimes it's going to be hard. And there's going to be tough times, and people are going to say things about you and do things to you. And it's going to come. And He's saying the reason it's all is coming is to get you offended, to get you to grow cold in your walk with God, and to get you to the place where you say, it just ain't worth it. I don't know if I'm even going to do anything anymore. But the Lord says, no, instead of taking that attitude, I'll tell you what you do. You take your attitude to the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to thank You that in all these things, You're going to make me more than a conqueror. And Lord, when it's all said and done, I'm going to be standing because You said if I would endure, if I would have fortitude, if I would just go ahead and dig my heels in, get some backbone, throw my shoulders back, lift my head up high and praise You, You would deliver me right out of all that. Praise God. So Lord, I'm going to meet You on the other side. Hallelujah. I'm coming through this. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, why is the Lord wanting me to endure this? The next verse, verse 14. You need to get a hold of this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's the purpose of me standing? Well, in verse 14 of the Message Bible, it reads it this way. And all during this time. I like that. All during this time, what time? Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, sickness, disease, earthquakes, persecutions, false teaching, false religions, everything else coming trying to tear you down and steal you from God. All during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom will be preached all over the world, a witness staked out in every country, and then will the end come. Woo, glory to God. What's God saying? He's saying, I'm going to have me a witness staked out in every country. I'm going to have me a witness staked out in every state. I'm going to have me a witness staked out in every town. I'm going to have me a witness staked out in every community. I'm going to have me a witness staked out in every business. I'm going to have me a witness staked out in every school. I'm going to have me a witness staked out in every family. Glory to God. I'm going to be one of those staked out witnesses. Amen? Hallelujah. What's He saying? He's saying all during this time, you're either going to get offended and get mad, get upset, lose your faith and get discouraged, or all during this time you're going to take your stand, put your eyes on the Lord and say, nothing's going to move me away from God and I'm going to be a stake. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to be planted by the Lord and I'm going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ all through this. I'm going to let my light shine. Amen. See, that's the word that God is speaking to His church today. He says, all during this time, when it's bad, I'm going to be preaching. Hallelujah. When people don't want to hear it, I'm going to preach the truth. When people don't want me to praise God, I'm going to praise Him anyway. Hallelujah. Oh, but Brother Hoffman, you don't understand. They're saying all these things about me. You know what you need to do when they say something bad about you? I remember back whenever, you know, I guess it's probably back in about 1980. That's a few years ago, isn't it? But anyway, I had a radio broadcast on. And I would put it on right after Brother Hagin. I had radio, and so we had this, and he is a Pentecostal pastor too, but he didn't like Brother Hagin. And then he heard my broadcast come on after him. I thought, if you don't like him so bad, why you listen to us every day? But anyway, we got at a minister's meeting, and I was just pretty young back then. And so he came over, and I was trying to be politeful and, you know, respectful. And he walked over to me, and he said, you're the Huffman preacher, aren't you? Well, you know, that's not a real good way to start off. I said that. Yeah, that's me. He goes, let's do your radio broadcast. You come on after the Hagin guy, don't you? I said, yeah, I come on after Brother Hagin. He said, sounds to me like you're just one of them Haginites. And he didn't mean it to be a compliment. He didn't like Brother Hagin, didn't like the message of faith, and he was just putting me down. Well, he thought he was going to rile me. So I just looked at him for a second, reached over and grabbed him and said, thank you, glory to God, praise the Lord. And he said, what are you? And he jerked back. I said, just associate me with Brother Hagin is one of the greatest compliments I've gotten since I've been in this city. Hallelujah! And he looked at me and he turned on and he said, well, you're too dumb to know you're getting insulted. I said, brother, you call me a Haginite, ain't no insult. Hallelujah. And you know, later on, we had a meeting and he was against what I was teaching. And I stepped up and taught about 10 minutes of it, gave him my notes, and he looked at me and says, well, my God, I preach that in my church. I said, then why you had such a problem with me? He said, well, that's what you're preaching, not what I heard. I said, you know what? You shouldn't go on what you've heard from everybody else. If you got a problem, you should come and hear what I have to say about it. And see, he was lying what the Lord told others not to do. He is deceived because he was misled by somebody else saying things that weren't true. Amen. Yeah, we ended up being good friends. He was a good man. He did. He got deceived and helped. Thank God we got to help him get back to where he wasn't deceived. Amen. But if he'd have said that to me and I'd gotten mad and smacked him, we probably never would have been friends. Amen. So all during this time, what's that mean? Even when it's not good, you got to be what Jesus called you to be. Even when it's not popular, you got to stand up for the Word and stand up for what the Lord's called you to do. Amen? I'm going to stand for the Lord. He said, if I'll stand, He'll save me out of it all. He'll deliver me out of it all. He'll bring me out, praise God, and cause me to walk in victory. Hallelujah. Yes, amen? And then I get to be a part of the group that's preaching the gospel, not a part of the group that's trying to stop the gospel. Amen? In these last days, I've made up my mind I'm going to be a voice for the kingdom of God, not a voice against the kingdom of God. Amen? And I'm going to be one that the Lord can use. Glory to God. Now, here's the thing you got to get a hold of, though. If you're going to stand and endure, He's not looking for people who will stand and endure by hanging on, holding out. Notice He said He's wanting a witness in every staked out in every place. Well, you're not much of a witness if you shut up. Well, praise God, this is the third day I've been persecuted, but thank you, Jesus. You know, nobody wants to hear the gospel out of you. I mean, when you show up and you look sadder than the person that's got the problems, I mean, it's hard to be a witness to that person. Amen. So the Lord is not looking for those who are going to go, well, I'm just going to stand. I'm going to, you know, no. There's a way the Lord's expecting us to stand and take our place. Amen. Well, how am I supposed to stand and take my place? Well, over here in Romans, I'm going to read to you actually in the Amplified and then also in the Message. But you can look at it. Romans chapter 12, here is the way we're supposed to take our stand and endure so the Lord can use us and stake us or plant us in a place to be a witness for Him in the kingdom of God. Romans 12, verses 11 and 12 in the Amplified says this, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Woo, glory to God. You ought to be so aglow and burning with the Spirit that if the enemy touches you, he gets burned. Amen. In other words, I'm enduring this with joy, glory to God. I'm praising God when it isn't easy to praise God. I'm praising God right in the midst. Well, yeah, but brother, but you don't know what they said about me. Well, rejoice. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, when they're saying all kinds of false things about you and persecuting you, He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Be aglow and burning, serving the Lord. Yes. Glory to God. Keep your glow. Rejoice and exult in hope. See, I'm not going to let you steal my hope. Hope is my joyful, confident expectation that I'm coming out of this. Hallelujah. And I'm going to rejoice in hope. I'm going to be like Abraham. Even when it doesn't look like I have any hope, I'm going to hope in hope. Praise God. Amen. Be strong in faith, giving glory to God just like He did. Notice He says, rejoice and exalt in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation and be constant in prayer. Notice that. Listen to me, folks. There are going to be times, unfortunately, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to have things said about you. You're going to have things that are going to come against you. But He says, there are sufferings and there are struggles and there are problems. But He says, what you got to do is don't let any of that put your fire out. You have to ask the Lord to give you the strength and help you to stand up and just stay aglow and rejoice in the midst of all that stuff, praise God, and be constant in prayer. Let me read it to you in the Message Bible, these two verses. Look what he says in the verse. I like the Message. It brings out some things really good. And he says this way, don't burn out. I like that. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. I like that too. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. It's my responsibility to stay full of joy. It's my responsibility to not be deceived and misled. The Lord told the disciples, do not be deceived. Amen. I'm warning you. Don't let anybody lead you off into error and deceive you. So it's up to me to keep myself undeceived. Amen. It's up to me to keep myself from burning out and getting upset. So he says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. It's up to me to stay on fire for God. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Ooh, hallelujah. What do you mean cheerfully expectant? Well, you know, you come around somebody, what you doing? Believe in God. Well, you know, what do you believe for? Well, you know, I've been praying and standing for a few days, but hallelujah, I'm happy in Jesus. Well, you need to inform the rest of yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody says, yeah, but Brother Hubman, you just don't understand. I don't feel anything. Joy isn't a feeling. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Nehemiah said in 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That means this. Sometimes I got to do what James said to do. Chapter 1, I got to count it all joy. Amen. You know, if you'll start counting it all joy, you get up to about 50 or 60, you know, that joy will kick in for you. Hallelujah. Amen. I've had stuff come against me, and I've looked at Bonnie, and she goes, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to count it all joy. Joy 1, joy 2, joy 3, joy 4. Hallelujah. But by the time I got about 40, 50, joy, 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 hallelujah, it hit, praise God. Why? Because it's there. It's there, but you got to stir it up, amen. That's why James said, count it all joy. There's times that you don't have any joy. You just got to force yourself and let the Spirit of God take over and just go ahead and praise God anyway, amen. And you see, we listen to the devil so many times. He said, well, you're not really praising God. And you know, since when did the devil know what praising God sounds like anyway? Okay? Everything he talks about is a lie. And there are times you just have to count it all joy. You got to do what Paul is writing here to them. He says right down here, he says, don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled in the flame. Be servants of the Master. Cheerfully expect it. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Don't quit in hard times. We're going to have hard times. Jesus warned us of hard times. Amen? And he said, don't quit. Never let the enemy force you into giving up, praise God. And don't let him steal your prayer and don't let him steal your joy. Amen. Paul in Acts chapter 16, he's preaching the gospel down in Philippi, and he gets Lydia saved and her family, and then he gets others saved. And first thing you know, they got a Bible study going on in her home, and they're meeting, and he's teaching, and people are getting set free. And then here comes this little woman that's a fortune teller, and she comes along 2 or 3 days there. These are the men of the Most High God. He gets tired of the demon testifying for him. And so finally one day he says he's grieved in his spirit and he turned around and rebuked that demon out of her and got her delivered, saved, and I believe filled the Holy Ghost, and she joined the church right there. Well, you know, you think everybody'd be happy about that. No, what they do? The people that was using her for money knew they couldn't get any more money out of her. They came in and beat Paul and Silas and threw them in jail. Beat them bad. Didn't give them a trial, didn't give them a chance to say anything. Just came in and did them dirty, threw them. And then when the jailer was charged, he put them down in the dungeon, put their feet in stocks. Now here they are laying there in their feet in stocks, bleeding, bloodied, and everything else. Most Christians, they done preached their last message. Sang their last song, gone to church their last time. God really loves me. I'm out here doing what he wants me to do, and look how they treated me. But no, no, no. What did Paul and Silas? At midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. They are enduring, hallelujah. They're standing their ground. They don't feel like counting it all joy. It don't look like they should. They don't have anything inspiring them. It's midnight. Sometimes I wonder, Pastor, why it was still midnight. It may have been midnight before they got enough strength to do anything. They got beat pretty bad. But you know what? When they came around to the point where they could pray, they prayed, put it in God's hands, and began to sing praises unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. They weren't quiet about it. They weren't ashamed of anything. They were not backing off of God. They were not going to quit. They were not going to let the enemy determine who they were or how they were going to respond. And the power of God came down in that jail cell, shook it. Everybody's changed. I mean, when we get free, folks, we'll set everybody free around us. Amen? Because all the prisoners' chains fell off. Hallelujah. And every door fell open. Praise God. You see, that's why the Lord stakes us out. He wants us to stand right in the midst of that tribulation, test, and trial, count it all joy, pray, and praise Him. And so He can not only set us free, He can set all those people that are bound free with us. Hallelujah. Amen? And Paul ended up getting them all set free. Got the jailer and his family saved. And established a church. Why? Because he practiced what he preached. Amen? He refused to burn out. He kept himself fueled. And he didn't quit in hard times. And that's exactly what the Lord was teaching us right here. So if I'm going to endure and be aglow and burning, there's two things I'm going to have operating in my life if I'm going to stay aglow. Notice he said, keep yourself fueled. Amen? Well, there's two ingredients to me being full of the fuel of the fire of God that's going to help me to burn even in bad times. Amen? The first one's found in Colossians chapter 3. Turn over here real quick. Colossians, the third chapter. The Apostle Paul is writing here again. And we read here in Colossians 3:14, actually down through verse 16. He says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Notice that? Above all these things, put on love. Which is the bond of perfection. What's he talking about? He's saying, you better make sure you keep your heart guarded and you stay in the love walk of God. Because everything else works out of love. Faith works through love. Everything works through love. Amen? So he says, you've got to put on that love. You've got to clothe yourself in that love, that bond of perfection. Praise God. And then he says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Notice that rule in your hearts means let it take charge. You ever, anybody here besides me ever had opportunities to not have peace? Want something else trying to rule in your situation? No, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, give it the right of way. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. Then he says, also to which you were called one body, and be thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody here besides me ever been tempted not to be thankful? Huh? Yeah. See, that's what he's talking about, staying fueled up in the flame. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said endure. He's not talking about hanging on, holding out. He's talking about staying aglow and burning and being a witness right in the midst of the bad times. Amen? And so he says this. He says, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to keep yourself fueled up. That means you're going to have to walk in love. You're going to have to let peace operate in your life. And you're going to have a thankful heart, an attitude of gratitude. Amen? Praise God. Somebody says, well, I just don't know what I can be thankful for. You going to heaven someday when you die? Yeah, then there's a good place. Hallelujah. Start right there. Hallelujah. And work your way back. Amen. Praise God. And then look what he says finally here in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. What's he mean? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That means be full of it. Richly means an abundance, doesn't it? Amen? Just don't have enough word to get you through. Have more than enough word. Praise God. Stay full of the word of God. Just let it operate in you. And he says, let it dwell in you richly. And in fact, somebody says, how do I know if it's dwelling in me richly? Well, I'm going to have wisdom. I'm going to know what to do. And then I'm going to teach the word. It's going to determine what I'm going to say about the situation. And my attitude towards the situation is going to determine my actions in that situation. Praise God. Amen. Because the word is working in me. Not the world, but the word. And everything about me is now flowing out of the word of God that's in me. Praise God. See, and it's the word that keeps you free. It's the word that sets you free. John chapter 8 and verse 30, Jesus was teaching over there, and his Bible says, and he taught, and because of the word, the many believed upon him because of his word. In other words, they were believers. But then in the very next verse in John 8:31, he says this. He says to those who believed in him, he says, continue in my word and you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what he said? Stay with the word until it becomes truth. Just don't hear it and walk away from it. Continue with it. Abide in it. Live in it. Let it get in you. Because when it gets in you and becomes truth, it'll set you free. It don't care what somebody said. It don't care what somebody did. It don't care what's going on around you. That truth of that word will keep you in liberty and freedom. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It'll make you free. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, if you're not free, you need to get back in the word. If you don't have thanksgiving, you need to get back in the word. If you don't have a praise report, you need to get back in the word. Why? Because all that builds up off the word of God. The word is what gives you all these things. If you're not admonishing somebody according to scripture, then you need to get richly filled back up with the word of God. Amen. When I find myself I'm not free, I run straight to the word, because it's the word that's going to set me free. Amen. In fact, in Ephesians 5, Jesus said he washes and cleanses the church through the washing of the water of the word. Amen. So praise God. If the enemy tries to get in me and spoil me and soil me, glory to God, I just take me a good word bath. Amen. Just get under God's shire and let him wash me until I'm clean. Glory to God. Until I'm praising him again. Amen. And watch God move in my life. So what's the first thing I'm going to do if I'm going to stay aglow and burning and praising God even in hard times and be the witness he wants me to be and be a part of the answer and not a part of the problem? I'm going to stay full of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. To this point, when the enemy attacked Jesus in the wilderness, after he came up out of Jordan, was filled with the Holy Ghost, went into the wilderness 40 days fasting, what did the Lord use when the enemy came in and tried to defeat him? The word, Matthew 4:4. What did he say? It is written. And he spoke the word to him. Enemy hit him again. He said, it's also written. He spoke the word to him. Praise God. Why? Because whenever the enemy touched Jesus, the word flowed out of him. Say it again. When the enemy touched Jesus, the word flowed out of him. And if we're going to walk in wisdom, every time the enemy touches us, the word flows out of us. Hallelujah. Why? Because the word of God, according to Ephesians 2:18, is the sword of the Spirit. And it is what the devil cannot resist. And it's the weapon that the Holy Ghost uses to drive him off and bring victory into your life. Amen? Whoo! Glory to God. So if I'm going to be a glow and burning, if I'm going to be on fire for God and be a witness for the Lord, stay full of the word so that whatever attacks you, you speak the word back to it. Amen. Your conversation, your speech, your praise and everything is not based upon the circumstances or what you feel. It's based upon your relationship with Jesus and what he says. Amen. That means I can praise him when it's easy and I can praise him when it's hard. I can praise him when I have money in my pocket and I can praise him when I don't have any money in my pocket. I can praise him when the enemy is attacking me from other sources, and I can praise him when everybody likes me. Because the surroundings and the circumstances no longer determine my walk with God. My relationship with Jesus and my walk in his word is now controlling my actions. Amen? I'm going to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Then the second thing is found over in Ephesians chapter 5. The second thing you're going to have, glory to God, drop down here in verse 17 and verse 18 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord, Paul? And do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. I like what the Amplified here says. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? See, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost once. You only have one baptism. That's whenever you get filled with the Holy Ghost. But then you can get refilled every day of your life. There are many, many refillings. Because you see, actually what Paul is writing here in Ephesians 5 is this. When he says, be being filled, it's a continuous action verb in the Greek. It means stay full of the Holy Ghost. Just stay filled up, praise God. When the enemy's coming in, that's whenever you need to get before God, just drink in a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. And just get in his presence. That's what David said when he was over in Psalm 92:10. He said, Lord, he said, I want you to exalt my horn like that of a wild ox and fill me with excessive strength and stately grace, and I'm anointed with fresh oil. Ooh, thank you for anointing me with a fresh oil and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. See, every day of our lives, church, we need to receive a fresh anointing and renewal in the Spirit of God. Every day. You need that. In John chapter 7, the Bible says in verses 37, 38, 39, Jesus stood up on that last day of the feast, that great day of the feast. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. See, when you're running the race that God's called you to run, fighting the good fight of faith that God's called you to fight, and you're dealing with all these things that Jesus warned us about, you may get thirsty. And Jesus said, when you get thirsty, that's okay. Call time out. Come on over and get you a drink. Hallelujah. And you just stay there and drink until up out of your innermost being, up out of your spirit, man, begins to flow rivers of living water. And all of a sudden, it's just flowing. God's flowing. Now get back in there and fight some more. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know what's the great thing about it? When you're in a fight, you can say, time out. And you can step over here. Why? Because the Lord is the referee. Hallelujah. And He'll give you that time out. Say, hold it. He's drinking. Amen. I'm feeling him about the fresh anointing. He's going to come back bad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's what we need, folks. And you know, this is the thing. The apostles were warned this. And we've received the warning from the Lord that was given to them so we can live it ourselves. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going up to the temple to pray, see a lame man. Been that way since he was born. And Peter walks over to him, the man's asking for alms, asking for help. And Peter looks at him and says, look on us. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Look at me. And Peter gets his attention and says, listen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He knew he had something. See, folks, we have to have this before we can give it to somebody else. Such as I have, I give to you. Amen? Not such as I know. Not such as I've heard about, such as I have. I need this working in my life. Amen? That's what Paul was saying over there. He says, you need to just keep feeding that. Stay aglow. Stay burning. Don't burn out. Just keep refueling yourself. Praise God. Stay in the Word. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. And such as I have, I give to you. And he reached down and grabbed the man and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And lifted him up, and the man got healed. And you know, we would think the whole place would get all excited. Now, there were several thousand got saved. But you know what the religious leaders of the day did? Took Peter and John, put them in jail. Yeah. Yeah. Put them in jail. Immediately got attacked. Persecuted. Threatened. Some of the things Jesus had warned them about. Now, Peter and John are there in jail. And the next day, they get the council together, bring them out in Acts chapter 4. And stand Peter and John in front of them. And they look at him and say, listen, we just want to know one thing. By what power, authority, or name did you get that man healed? And the Bible says, and Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, down there around verse 6. You know what that means? He got him a fresh anointing. The Holy Ghost came on him, just like in Ephesians 5 here raised. He was filled, restirred. The anointing came on him. Amen. And he said, if we be questioned this day as by what name or power that this miracle was done, let it be known to all that it was through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. That's how we got this thing done. And the Bible says when he got done talking, it says the people, the Pharisees, the ones that are persecuted, step back and said, those two have been with Jesus. Why? Because they were acting like Jesus in a hard situation. They drew from the Spirit of God. They refused to let a night in jail or people persecuting them or coming against them stop them from being that staked out witness that the Lord wants them to be. Amen. My stake has been driven in the ground by the Lord Himself. Ain't no devil going to pull it up. Amen. And then not only did they get a full Holy Ghost, fresh anointing on them there to teach and minister them, the Bible says they let them go and they went back to their own company and the whole church got together and began to pray. And they didn't start off begging and pleading. They started off with saying, Lord, you are God. And everything was made by and for you. They start praising God and giving Him glory and declaring how great He is. And then after about halfway through, they said, now, Lord, behold their threats. And they don't say, Lord, behold their threats and kill them. No, they said, now, Lord, behold their threats And grant unto us thy servants that with all boldness we may speak your word, that by stretching forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. The Bible says the whole place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to praise God and speak out, hallelujah. In other words, they didn't get baptized in the Holy Ghost that day. They got refilled. Fresh anointing came on. Why? So they could continue to stand up for the Lord in troublesome times and be a witness for Jesus. We are in troublesome times. We're in hard times. We're in perilous times, like Paul told them. We're in those days that Jesus talked about, and they are coming on us. And you and I have to make a decision. Will I be a part of the group that gets offended and defeated and becomes a part that's out here no longer caring? Or do I stand my ground, stay at that stake planted where Jesus planted me, stay full of the Word, full of the Holy Ghost, and make up my mind I'm going to be a blaze of fire, and I'm going to be a part of the great revival that's coming to the land. Amen. I'm going to be a part of the movement of God in these last days, because the Lord said the thing is going to be a note to everybody is in these last days, this gospel of the kingdom, all during this time, when it's so bad nobody knows what's going to happen, all during this time, this great message of the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and I will stake out a witness in every nation, every place, every family, every neighborhood, every church. In other words, this church was staked out here to be a witness in this time. Are we going to do what God's called us to do, or we're going to let the enemy defeat us? We're going to do what God called us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to do what God called us to do. And if you're here tonight and you say, Brother Hummond, I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want my flame to burn brighter again. And I want to be what God's calling to be. And I don't want to be fueled up. I don't want to just come in here and say, He is Lord. He is Lord. I want to come in here and sing out of my spirit, He's Lord. Hallelujah. Out of the reality of His Lordship in my life. Tomorrow, when I get up, I want to come to church because I'm coming to hook up with all the other fire. Hallelujah. And get refreshed. And this week, I'm going to go back to wherever I work or whatever I do. And I'm going to say, Lord, you staked me here. And all during this time, whatever's going on, I'm going to be a witness for you. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to be thankful. And your word is going to dominate my life. And Holy Ghost, lead me, guide me, direct me. Because, Lord, I'm going to be a witness for the kingdom of God right here where I'm at. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. And Lord, right now, we just thank you for doing a mighty work. We thank you for a time of renewal and refreshing. And we just give you praise. We give you glory. Holy God in heaven, we thank you right now. Thank you for your holy presence filling this house, touching every heart. And Lord, right now, we lay down every care. We lay down every worry, every hurt, every lie, the enemy, everything that's tried to hold us back. Lord, everything that's tried to put our flame out, we come against it now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we set ourselves to be fueled up with the Word and with the Spirit, and to be aglow and burning, serving you. Lord, not just going through the motions, but Lord, a burning flame with passion and purpose. And we thank you for that anointing right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.